few years ago, there was a show in TLC called What Not to Wear. Do you guys know about it? Okay. So the show was hosted by a person called Stacy London, one of the best fashion stylists in the US. Okay, in the show, one person would get nominated, either by her family or by her friends, for a complete makeover. Stacy and the team would go to that person's house and ransack her cupboard. When I say ransack, I mean literally. Okay? And she would decide what clothes that person can retain or not. If Stacy, you know, doesn't like any one of the dress, she will just throw it in the trash. Okay, she doesn't mind if even that person's the favorite dress or so. Most of the times, the ransacking is very emotional, and a lot of criticism and humiliation goes with the cleaning of the old wardrobe. Then Stacy goes with this person for a makeover, for a beautiful shopping experience, okay? Stacy gives this person a complete makeover in fashion, in makeup, in hairdo, everything. And when the makeover is complete, the person will go, wow. It just looks like herself for the first time in the mirror. Okay? See, at one level, such makeovers are really cool, isn't it? It's fun. It's, you know, it's very exciting. We all feel good when we have one of those makeovers once in a while, right? But another level, to really look at it, these kind of makeovers are just merely superficial. They change a person on the outside. There is no change on the inside. Okay, even within us, you know, there is a strong desire to look better, isn't it? We want to look better before our bosses. We want to look better before our parents. We want to look better before the world. We want to look better even on Instagram and Facebook, right? So today I would like to talk about a deeper makeover. Okay, this is Stacy, by the way, and that's her partner in work called Kelly. So all of us agree with that even the best of fashion designers, we have one here right now, that their clothes are in style for a particular season, correct? All of them have to find another line of fabric or another style for another season. But there is one makeover artist who can give us a makeover for our entire life and for eternity. You know who I'm talking about. He is Jesus Christ. He gives us a complete makeover, and change happens inside out. And changes last for eternity. The big difference between the Jesus and other makeover artists is that Jesus works on our heart, and others work on outside appearance. So today I would like to talk about how Jesus Christ works on our heart to give each of us deep, perfect, beautiful makeover for eternity. Okay? And today's talk is based on a book called Hosea from the Old Testament. Some of us are not familiar with the Bible. So I've just put everything in a nutshell about Hosea. Here it is. Okay, Hosea is a very peculiar story. Hosea was a prophet, and God asked this prophet to marry a prostitute named Gomer. Hosea marries Gomer, the prostitute. But after a few years of marriage, Gomer goes back to her old lovers, to her prostitution. She falls into such degradation that she is eventually sold in the slave market. And the beautiful thing is, God sends Hosea to slave market to buy Gomer. After buying Gomer, Hosea says, "I want to be your husband, not your master. I want you to be my wife, not my slave." the entire Hosea Gomer love story, if you can indeed call it a love story, is actually a representation of our relationship with God. We are like Gomer, who's always unfaithful. God is like Hosea, pursuing us, never giving up on us. The passage we are going to look today was written soon after Gomer becomes unfaithful again and goes back to her old lovers and prostitution, after she marries Hosea and has children with him. Can we just pray for a minute? Father, we just want to thank you. I really want to thank you for this opportunity. And want to thank you for the word that you've given us, your calling to be your bride. I want to thank you for this opportunity to share your love, your word to your people, Lord. Come, Lord, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it's Hosea chapter 2, 14 to 16. Therefore, I'm going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards and will make a valley of Achor a door of hope. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband and you will no longer call me my master. The first thing I would like to draw from this passage is God often does his makeover in the spa of suffering. Look at verse 14. Therefore, I'm going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. See, desert is a place of hardship and suffering. You don't normally take your date to a desert, right? You don't take your girlfriend or boyfriend to a desert. But God, who assumes the role of a husband, is taking Israel, his adulterous wife, to the desert just to woo her back. In other words, God is taking Israel through a period of suffering in the desert to get her attention. And in suffering, he also promises us to speak tenderly to us. God often uses spa of suffering to give us a complete makeover. See, I would like to share something from my life when I was in this spa of suffering for an extended period of time. I moved from Chennai to Mumbai. And when I moved, it's obvious that I didn't have any friends. There's no family. I was totally cut off from all support system. And soon after we moved, my daughter Varsha was born. So I got stuck at home, okay? Hey, please don't hear me wrong, okay? I love my kids, and I love them to bits, and I know it's a blessing to me and Anand. When I got stuck at home for a long period of time, I started losing my self-confidence. I started losing my self-esteem. I started losing my self-worth. And slowly I started thinking, am I good enough? What am I doing here? Am I good enough? That kept ringing in my head. And after 4 long years in the spa of suffering, God gave me a beautiful break. I think some of you know what's my job is, but for those of us who don't, I'm a counselor working for an NGO. I counsel minors who are trafficked and rescued from the sex trade. I go to a rehab center to counsel these young girls. When I meet these girls who feels unworthy because of their abuse, I can empathize with them because I went through that same feeling of unworthiness when I got stuck at home. My heart goes out to these young girls who have been repeatedly raped, abused, brutalized, exploited. They have lost all sense of self-worth. My season of suffering was a preparation to help these girls. It is only in the moment of brokenness, in the place of hardship, in the spa of suffering, that God speaks to us tenderly and begins his makeover process. I would like all of us to imagine with me a guy who's madly in love with a girl. Okay? They meet every day, they talk, and there's so much excitement. I know what, I think you get what I'm saying, right? There's so much excitement, and there's joy, and they talk about their likes, dislikes, and many other things. But when the time comes to take the relationship to one notch higher, what do you think that guy should do? What do you think that guy should do? I know you all got it in your mind. Exactly. He should propose, right? Okay. He will not take her to Big Bazaar or a crowded Crawford Market or even to a rock concert to propose. Why? Because he wants all her attention. And that's exactly what God is saying. Therefore, I'm going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. Why does God have to allure us into the desert? Often, it is only in the spa of suffering we will give our full attention to God. Often, we are far too distracted with good things in life to listen to God. So Christ often leads us into this path of suffering to begin his makeover process. That's the first thing we want to draw from this passage. God often does his makeover in this path of suffering. And here's the second thing we want to draw from this passage. The only thing we bring to our makeover is our ugliness. I would like to repeat that. The only thing we bring to our makeover is our ugliness. Let's look at verse 15. There I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. So what is this valley of Achor? What is the significance of it, turning that into a door of hope? God is referring to an incident that happened many, many years ago in that valley of Achor. If God is referring to an incident, it tells us how important that is, right? Let's figure out what happened in the Valley of Achor. So Achor in Hebrew means trouble. And Achor has a direct infidelity, a wife's unfaithfulness to her husband. Achor is a place where Israel was first unfaithful to God after they entered the Promised Land. Okay, I know many of you must be wondering, what is this Promised Land? Who is this Israel and all of that? So I just tell you in brief, for those of us who are not familiar with Bible, Israel was enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. God uses Moses to free Israel from Egypt and bring Israel to the Promised Land. The Achor incident happens after Israel enters in the Promised Land. As they entered the Promised Land, Israel had to fight many fights against many nations. In these battles, God told them very clearly not to take any religious objects of other culture. But you know what? There was a man called Achan. He got so tempted by the beautiful robe, gold, silver, iron, and he steals all of them and keeps it to himself. Achan's sin causes Israel to lose battle, their next battle. Achan was unfaithful to God. He loved those things more than he loved God. God is referring to this incident in Hosea. See, even here, God in his compassion, God is saying he will forgive even our unfaithfulness. Verse 15 says, there I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. Through the book of Hosea, God is telling us he will turn even our valley of unfaithfulness, valley of Achor, into a valley of hope. Isn't that beautiful? But how are we unfaithful to God? You know Ted, who did our community Bible reading workshop for us a few weeks back, showed us every morning as we wake up, our soul wakes up thirsty. Rather than fill our souls with God and His Word, first thing in the morning, we fill it with stuff like maybe office mail, maybe WhatsApp message, maybe Facebook, maybe our phone. I don't know. I don't know about you guys. I know what I do. I often reach to my phone to see my Facebook. When we love other things more than Jesus, we are unfaithful to Him. Let's face it. Most of the time, we all are pursuing something more than Jesus. We are being unfaithful to Him. In this passage, God says, I'm going to turn the valley of Achor, that is the valley of unfaithfulness, into a door of hope. What is the valley of Achor to eventually turn to hope? Actually, there's nothing. Only our unfaithfulness is there in the valley of Achor. Yet, God brings hope in that very place. Achan was unfaithful, Gomer was unfaithful, and we are unfaithful. Yet, God loves us and gives us hope. The only contribution we bring to our makeover is our unfaithfulness and our and ugliness. This valley of Achor is not a place of punishment, but it is a place of blessing, because this is where God is going to speak to us tenderly. His intention in allowing us to come to this place is not to take away everything, but actually to bless us, to give Himself up. You know, that's a place he's fully there. He wants to give everything to us. God is saying, I will make this valley of Achor a door of hope. I don't know about others, but some of you, I'm sure, are in this place of desert, this difficult season of your lives. It's quite likely God is working on giving us a makeover. When we call to Him, He will answer us. He may not answer the way we expect, but He will never ignore us or abandon us in this place. So how can I, some of you must be wondering, Aji, but how can I be so sure that He is not going to abandon me? I can be sure, because God will never abandon us in the wilderness, because Christ has already endured the worst wilderness ever in our place. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before Jesus was arrested and crucified, He cried out to His Father, Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but let yours be done. And the will of the Father was that Jesus Christ will bear upon Himself the full brunt of God's punishment that's due upon us for our sins. So the only thing we bring to our makeover is our ugliness. The third and the last thing I would like to talk about is the cost of our makeover. Hosea the prophet could have had his wife stoned by law for her adultery, just like we stand condemned by law. He could have divorced her, at least stopped loving her. Just like she's been unfaithful to her husband, we have been unfaithful to Christ. God has a choice to give up on us. But He wouldn't do that because of His undying love for His adulterous wife like us. Verse 16. This is so beautiful. In that day, God declares the Lord, you will give me my husband and you will no longer call me my master. When God is saying, don't call me master, call me husband, He's saying, relate to me as a loving husband, not as a harsh master or as an owner. God is inviting us to love Him as our husband, not to just serve Him dutifully as our Lord. That's the intimacy that God is calling us. There is something very important we need to understand here.
God does not love us because there's something good in us. Or it is not that God loves good people and hate bad. Truth is, in God's standard of perfection and holiness, no one is good. He loves because God is love. That's his character. God decided to give us all ultimate makeover because he loves us, not because we deserve a makeover. Bible says we were all sinned, dead in our own sin, and were slaves to the sin. On our own, we cannot the holy God. Since we were all slaves to sin, he wanted to redeem us from slavery to be his bride. Just like Gomer, who stood like a slave to be bought, we too stood like a slave drowned in sin. Hosea did all he could to redeem her as a slave to be his wife. Jesus, who is a better Hosea, redeemed all of us to be his bride. To redeem Gomer, Hosea has to pay 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley and a measure of wine. But to redeem us, it costed more than 15 pieces of silver, more than 5 bushels of barley and a measure of wine. It costed God his own son himself. Let me go back to Achan for a minute, okay? One man sinned that caused Israel to lose the battle. Achan was stoned because of unfaithfulness to God's command. In the similar way, we should have been stoned for our unfaithfulness and waywardness. But Jesus, who is and who will and who always be faithful, was stoned for our unfaithfulness. Achan's unfaithfulness aroused God's anger, and justice needs to be done for Israel's victory. Our unfaithfulness has also aroused God's anger, but it was not poured on us, but on Jesus, who went willingly to the cross. By his perfect death on the cross, we've been given the ultimate makeover from a slave to a bride. As I close this morning, I would like to consider the cost of the makeover Christ has offered us. See, there are two things that happen in the makeover, and two people were changed. First, because God punished Christ fully for our sins, we became beautiful. All our wickedness and ugliness was washed away by the death of Christ. This is actually the second thing that happened in this makeover. The first thing that happened was that Christ, who was beautiful, took our sin upon himself, and our sin that made him ugly in God's eyes. For us to become beautiful, Christ had to become ugly. This is the cost for our makeover. All of us can get this makeover the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. One last thing before I close. What do we do when we get a new hairdo or a new makeover? We show off ourselves, right? So Jesus is giving us all that makeover to, for all of us. Would you consider showing your new you to people who haven't yet had this Jesus makeover? When people see your new hairdo, they will ask, who did it? Where did you get it done? And we will give the number, the address, right? Wouldn't we? When you show off the new you, people will ask you, who did the makeover? When they do, would you please point them to Jesus? When they do, would you please point them to Jesus?